Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth.
Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us.
Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers?
You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure.
You make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the Son of Man, whom you have made strong for yourself.
Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to you, O
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
Grace to you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our reading is the text from 1 Corinthians just heard, which was also the epistle reading, the reading from the letters this past Sunday. For the three Wednesdays in Lent, in Advent here, we're going to be listening to the epistle reading from the previous Sunday. The Christians who lived in Corinth had many weaknesses. If you read through St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, you can see that they were very careless about distinguishing between right and wrong. You can tell that they were self-centered. You can also tell that they were very sure of themselves. There were also divisions and rivalries and contentions among them. The church in Corinth was, quite frankly, a mess. And yet when St. Paul begins his first letter to the Corinthians, he doesn't begin by pointing out the mess that they are. Instead, he reminds them that grace and peace is theirs in Christ. And he begins by thanking God for them, as messy as they are. Now, pride might lead them to think that they are God's gifts to the world, but St. Paul gives thanks instead for the gifts that they have from God. As he says very pointedly later in the letter, "What do you have that you did not receive?" So the thanks that he begins with is thanks for the things that they have received from God. They have nothing to boast about, but everything to thank God for. And St. Paul wants them to see how their story, the story of their lives and their life in Christ, is intricately woven into the life and story of Jesus himself. Jesus is the golden thread that holds the past, the present, and the future of the Corinthians together. And he is the same thread that holds us and our stories together as well. And St. Paul sets before them, and he sets before us, the Advent hope that is ours in Christ. The hope that we have as we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ with three different things in mind. We wait, first of all, as those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. We wait, secondly, as those enriched in Christ, not lacking in any spiritual gifts. And third, we wait as those whom the faithful God will sustain to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these three things that we consider today as we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ as those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. This is how St. Paul addresses all the Christians who would hear this letter, including us. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. As St. Paul begins addressing the church, he considers not their divisions or their careless practices or their high opinion of themselves, but instead he focuses on their sanctification in Christ Jesus. By faith, St. Paul sees the church and every member of the church as she is in Christ, holy, called by God, set apart for his own special purposes. And even though we can't see the church this way with our eyes, we also believe that this is true, that the church is holy and the church is called by God and the church is set apart for his purposes. You may wonder, though, when did we become holy and called by God and set apart? What is it that stitched us into the story of Jesus and gives us purpose in him? It begins with the Holy One himself. You might recall that when the angel Gabriel came to visit Mary, the angel told her that her child would be called holy because he would be the Son of God and was conceived by the Holy Spirit. It is that Holy One, Jesus Christ, that brings his holiness to us and sanctifies us and makes us holy. When we first heard the gospel proclaimed, the gospel of Jesus, when we first received holy baptism, we were brought into God's great story. We were brought into the story of Mary's holy son. Through that gospel and through our baptism, we came to know Jesus as our Savior, and we came to know his blood as the means of our salvation. And through that gospel and baptism, we were sanctified and we were called by God. And he has set us apart for his special purposes as the church. And this gift of God, knowing that we are sanctified and called and set apart, this gives meaning and hope to the church, and it gives meaning and hope to each of our lives. We know who we are. We belong to the kingdom of heaven. And as the church, we find our identity in God's call. That's where it begins for us. And we also know that as those who are called by God, we are going somewhere together. We are going to a future that will be revealed in Jesus Christ. The second thing is that we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ as those enriched in him, not lacking in any spiritual gifts. St. Paul says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. This is a description of where we are now. Right now, as Christians, we have been blessed by God, and we are being sanctified anew and again. In every station of life that we have, in every good and worthy vocation, and in all privileges, and in every hardship. We are a community of disciples through baptism, and as a community, we continue to learn the way of God and the will of God. We remain devoted to the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the true doctrine of his church. Now, this season of Advent that we've begun is a particularly rich time for us to be devoted to the Word. I'm sure you know there are so many different Advent devotions and Advent readings that one can use to enliven this time and go deeper into God's Word. There's also a new devotion that I have for the congregation that I'd encourage you to pick up on your way out, that together we can be hearing the same word of God every day in our homes and as individuals. Through the word, we are growing in the knowledge of God. And through the word, we are growing in the new life that is ours in Christ. And this is how God is confirming the gospel message and the baptismal gifts that we've received, by our ongoing and continual hearing and receiving of the word. And through the gospel message, we know what it is to have meaning in our lives, because our meaning comes from being God's people. We experience purpose for ourselves as we see the purposes that God has for us as his people, and we savor the hope that is ours in Christ. Even in the cold, dark, and bitter world in which we live, we see that our Lord Jesus Christ is sweet, and we live now as those looking forward to a future sweetness yet to be revealed in him. As it says in the scriptures, through the word we taste and see that the Lord is good. Third, we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ as those whom the faithful God will sustain to the end. St. Paul says, you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So God has called us in the past. He equips us in the present, and he will complete the whole process, the whole thing, in the future. This is our story. This is our confidence. This is our hope. That Jesus is the one who shapes the beginning and the middle and the end of our lives and our stories. That he has promised his grace for this very reason, that he might keep us and the whole Christian church with him for all eternity. No matter how cold or how dark it gets, we don't despair. We don't give up. We continue on with our lives in the world, knowing that God has promised to carry us all the way through and finish what he has already begun in us. St. Paul reminds us, God is faithful. He will bring to completion what he has already started. And the fellowship and communion that we have already now in Jesus Christ, his Son, looks forward to the full consummation and the great communion that lies ahead of the fellowship that is in heaven for us with Christ. We will see our King enthroned. We will sing his praises while we hold palm branches in our hands and wear the white robes of those who have been counted spotless by his blood. We will live in his presence forever. And he will sustain us to the end of our lives, to the end of the world, guiltless and blameless by his blood. Advent prepares us for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. It prepares us for his coming in glory as the great King. He is the head of the church, and he has every intention of finally leading us home. So we see through St. Paul, as he told the Corinthians, that now, as always, and into the future, we depend solely on the grace and peace that is ours from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To them, with the Holy Spirit, be all glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Let my prayers be set forth before thee as incense, and the living up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior.
In heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
Before the Collect for Peace, I'm going to ask a prayer this evening for Kertu and Ayla. They mourn the death of their sister, Anya, who passed away unexpectedly yesterday. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, came that we might have victory over death and the grave. We pray that for his sake you would grant comfort to Kertu and Ayla and to all who mourn Anya's death, that they might find refuge and peace in Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Bless me the Lord.